It is April 18th, 2019, 8:12 in the morning. I'm in the tiny house. I've been studying the Word all morning, doing my devotions, and then I went and compiled a list of all the main scriptures that speak about warnings about falling away from the faith. I've added them to a document that I've been keeping about my wife's journey of falling away from the faith. I wanted this morning to take those scriptures so badly and to send them to her, but I know that she will not read them. And even if she did, she'll say it's all hogwash. And I didn't feel that the Spirit was leading me to do it, but I felt like as a last-ditch effort, Lord, can I warn her? But then I stopped from doing it. Last night, I saw the 5:12 in the middle of my prayer time. This is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. I set the scriptures down. I get up. I begin to pray. And I start having it out with the Lord. And I said, Father, I just don't understand this. This is something that I've wrestled with for a long time is, should I be burdened with the sins of somebody else or the lack of faith of somebody else? And can my prayers about that do anything when I see no scriptures that say that they can? On the contrary, I see Jesus Christ teaching in John 3, 5 through 8 to Nicodemus that the Holy Spirit, like the wind, blows where it pleases, and so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. You see the wind's effect, but you do not know where it is coming from and where it is going. And he says that is how it is with the Spirit of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit blows into people's lives as he pleases and knows in all his omniscient wisdom, not in accordance with how I pray. And this is a part of something that I have really disagreed with people that think that they were prayed into a saving faith. Even I disagree with Amy Carmichael, believing that she became a Christian because her parents, you know, and people were praying for her so much. Or that George Mueller felt he prayed for 40 years for one friend of his to get saved. And I just said, God, why? Why? And if he prayed for that man for 40 years, why not pray for everybody for 40 years? Why did he not just spend his entire time all day and night long praying for all the lost in the world? And I said, God, I know Amy Carmichael, as I'm reading her book, As Things Are, she must have prayed relentlessly. And I know that that woman had faith in God relentlessly for these Hindus. And one by one, she fails, she fails, she fails. God does not open the door. She ends up having to go to children because the adults are absolutely impossible. The devil has too much of a stronghold, not too much for God, but God is not pleased to change anything about it. I see in Scripture in Romans chapter 9, speaking of God's choice and how he has mercy on whom he'll have mercy and he has compassion on whom he'll have compassion. That does not sound like something that I can change. Can I tell God, no, God, you need to have compassion on this person. You need to save that person. I mean, I have to decide, do I go with what church has taught me for years and what I believe personally? I used to believe, oh, pray for the lost. I don't see it anywhere in Scripture. I've been struggling with this. In Romans chapter 9, right after that verse of God saying to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. You know, and he has mercy on who he wants, and he hardens whom he wants. And then it says, this does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. So I said, God, you know, I prayed this morning for Persis. I said, God, please be merciful to her. Have mercy on her. But I am not convinced that God will do it because I pray it. I'm convinced that there's another aspect of this that is outside of my control, that is God's sovereign will and his omniscient knowing and my wife's human responsibility to choose, her free will. I do not believe that I can affect another person's free will by my prayers. I do not believe, I'm having a hard time believing that God is up there waiting for me to pray for somebody so that he can change their will and have them become a believer instead of an unbeliever. That gets to me, it gets outside the realm of what God called us to pray for. Even Jesus Christ said, I do not pray for the world, but for those who will believe through their message. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father enables them. Does that mean that I can pray and get God to enable a person to come to him? I mean, does that really mean that through my prayer I can affect one of the most mysterious, difficult to understand, powerful things in the universe, the harmonizing of God's sovereignty and human responsibility, free choice? My prayer can somehow affect that? I have a very difficult time. I don't see it in Scripture. I don't see anywhere where Paul's praying for the lost. I don't see anywhere. Even Apostle John says, you know, if you see a brother stumble into sin, pray for him. But he says, not the one that stumbles into, that leads to death. I'm not saying pray for him. And I believe that that does not just mean physical death, but that it must also mean spiritual death. Because of the context, it must more mean spiritual death. Based on the context of his preaching, and he's saying, you know, I'm not saying pray about that. So if a person reaches spiritual death, it's almost like Apostle is saying, don't pray about that, you're wasting your time. So I have been asking God this morning, Father, please teach me. Teach me, Lord. Teach me how to understand your wisdom on this. And God, am I supposed to be burdened every moment with my wife's salvation, or am I supposed to just let it go and trust you for your complete sovereign hand in this? I mean, I'm really, really struggling because I want to do God's will. I do not want to live in ignorance on this. I do not want to be wasting my time praying if God looks at my wife and says, she's made her choice, Michael. I mean, and that's why I put all the warnings in the Bible. That's why I just looked and found them all this morning again. And there's warning after warning after warning after warning after warning. And so I've gotten myself in this place where I believe so much in God's sovereignty that, you know, it's kind of bizarre. I would think that I'm kind of leaning a little bit more towards a Calvinistic thinking, which I totally am against his, you know, total package. I probably agree with some of it. I mean, isn't there truth in almost everything? There's some truth in almost everything. And I think probably a lot of what he said is true, but he negates the free will, and I believe you can absolutely reject the grace of God as evidenced by what I see going on with my wife right now. As evidenced I see in Scripture. Those of you who are trying to be made righteous by law have been alienated from Christ and have fallen away from grace. They made choices and they fell. And so I'm asking God, please help me to know. You know, it's like the Spirit stops me sometimes from praying, and it's like I don't feel that deep burden. Like, and I just go, you know, it's almost like, God, do you want me to just take my hands off of this and let you have your way? And yet it's so hard. I told Father, it's so hard when you feel love. And I said, God, am I supposed to be burdened with all the sins of the world and all the people that are going to hell? I can't carry that. And I said, God, I'm not the Savior. It's too much for one man. And I don't see that in Jesus. I don't see that in Paul. I don't see that in Peter. They basically say, nope, those people were destined to be disobedient. Nope, those people were destined to perish. Nope, you guys were chosen of the elect to know God. And they rest in the election of God. And I think that for the most part, I've been able to do so. But man, with my wife, this is so hard, knowing that my wife was given to me by God and that my wife loved Jesus the way I did. And I don't want to see my wife go to hell. I've been pleading with God, please, God, don't let her go to hell. And I even said, Father, even if you have to kill me and take me home and let her hear the recordings I've made of pleading with her and all of my torments of watching my wife fall away from the faith, and if it awakens life in her and brings her to repentance so that she can have life in Christ, God, let it be. I'm willing to give my life for her. I even told the Father I'm willing to go to hell in her place. And I meant it. I finally know what Paul feels like when he says, I wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from God, that I might save my own people, that Israel might be saved. But God didn't answer that prayer. The only two times that Paul ever prayed for the salvation of somebody, God did not answer it. Before Festus and Agrippa in the court, I pray that you are everything I am except for these chains. Paul, do you think you can convert us in a day? He's praying, you know, that they would be saved, but they didn't get saved. And he kind of says this as I pray, you know, like we throw it out in a conversation, not like he's literally praying, oh God, save them and open their eyes. But as far as we know historically, these men did not get saved. The two sinners that Paul prayed for did not get saved. The only two instances I can find in the scripture when he speaks of himself, I pray that I may be cut off from Christ to save my own people. We know God did not answer that prayer, and we know God did not answer King Agrippa and Festus being saved. So it's like I see there again, I can say Romans 9, this does not depend on man's desire, but on God's mercy. So I say all of this to know that while I was making this recording, actually while I was praying and talking to God about this, I got my phone to make a recording and it was 8:11. Finish the work. And so one thing I have felt certain, and I've asked God, I said, Lord, I want to obey you. I want to obey you, Father, and be very sensitive to your spirit. And now God is telling me to finish the work. It's like he's telling me, quit worrying about this and go do what I've asked you to do. But I want to capture this because this is something I'm really struggling with. And I just said, okay, Lord. It's like this has happened so many times where I'll start to want to go deeper and want to know more on this and understand God's heart more and make sure that I'm right in believing what I'm believing. And God will say, kind of get up from here and go do your work. Like Daniel, you know, go. This is closed up until the time of the end. And, you know, maybe there is that principle that God is hiding what he's going to do. I know he clearly is. But I see Father telling me to finish the work. To me, that's a good sign. That means something is going to happen as a result of my obeying him. So I'm getting ready to pack up here this morning. I'm going to leave, and I thank God that he's telling me to finish the work. I thank God that he's telling me to finish the work, and that work is telling the story, the amazing story of all that God did. He must have some glorious purpose for this that I cannot understand right now. Even if it means I tell all these amazing details of how God walked my wife and I hand in hand in faith through this amazing process to bring this impossible marriage and these impossible, you know, experiences together, only to then lose it through the choice of one human being to walk away from Jesus Christ, my wife. And whatever purpose that may serve in the lives and hearts of those who will hear it, so be it. May God be glorified in the process and the saints encouraged. And you know, for all I know, I'd hate to think of this, but for all I know, God uses people like my wife as a sacrifice to warn other people. For all I know, maybe my wife's falling away will prevent the falling away of thousands more around the world as they hear the story. Those who are on the cusp, those who still have a little bit of light, those who can recognize the responsible choice they need to make to hold firmly to the faith and to not be deceived. I have no idea. It's so painful for me to think about something like that. I want my wife back. I want her to come back to Jesus Christ first. And I'm willing to live without her, even if she did. It's not like I have any choice if she leaves, but my prayer is that no matter what, she'll fall flat on her face and she'll come to realize that she wandered from the faith, wandered from the truth, and that somehow or another God is pleased to use her as an example and he's going to be merciful to her and turn her around. God, I believe God can be merciful to my wife. I believe that her final condition does not have to be as one who fell away, but as one who walked away or wandered away and came back. I believe that. And right now, I just have to continue to do what Father's asked me to do. I sense, and I have recordings I made a long time ago that I had a sense that God would not be able to bless my wife until I finished the work, and that there would be nothing that would change. And indeed, here it is. She's fallen as far away as you can possibly get without actually buying a plane ticket unless she already has and hasn't told me. And I'm at the climax of the story where the marriage has been consummated, the wedding vows have been said, the relationship is in order, and the blessing of God is upon us in the story, and now we're getting ready to start the visa process to bring her home in the story that I'm telling. And I'm going to go sit and work on that today. I'm going to continue to do what Father has asked me to do and trust him no matter what. but I have certainly made my request known to him. He knows that I'm willing to lose my life for my wife. I'm willing to lose my ministry for her. I'm willing to lose anything for her that God would be pleased for me to give up in order to have her be saved again. And maybe it's just as simple as me just simply obeying him and finishing the work. I have no idea. Maybe God will let her leave, and at some point in the future, wherever she's at, she'll sit down and watch these videos, and God will allow brokenness and repentance to enter into her heart, and she'll come back. I've also asked the Lord to give me strength and courage. I don't want to be a sopping wet baby when she leaves. If I truly believe this is from God, then I absolutely must believe that something good will come out of this. Not that he'll end it the way I want it to end, but that all things work together for the good. And I've asked God, and I've taken inspiration from Madame Guyon and George Mueller and Hudson Taylor, who all three were able to watch the passing of children and not shed a tear, because they trusted that the Lord had given and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, that there would be something good that came as a result of this. If I have to make this sacrifice unto God, I do it, and I want to do it courageously and willingly and gratefully. It's very difficult to do, but I believe that all things are possible for him who believes, and that I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And I think I've said enough today.